Blog Talk Radio.
Like Robert to show up. There he is. Ladies and gentlemen, we're on the air. I see Robert Gatewood's on. Robert, how you doing, man?
Leon, what's up, bro?
Good, man. Hey. Too much that needs to be done. I mean, to have any degree of foolishness, especially at the degree we have it going on. I'm talking about from the top down.
Mm-hmm.
So much foolishness going on at the top.
There's no.
I mean, at the top of everything, you know? Top of the church, top of the country, top of civil rights organizations. This is too much foolishness going on, man.
What's going on with civil rights?
Well, we'll get into that later. But it's just too much going on, man. It's just frustrating. How you doing, Joseph? Thanks for joining us, man. It's just too much going down. Anyway, I'm on my soapbox tonight. I want to say good evening to everyone. How's everybody doing? Welcome to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. We would like for you guys to join us tonight. The call-in number is 215-383-3872. That's the Brothers for Real Radio Show. You can also go to www.brothersforreal.com to listen live if you don't want to hold the phone to your ear all night. Isn't that right, Robert?
www.brothersforreal.com.
That's brothersforreal.com. Welcome to the Brothers for Real Radio Show, brothers. We have Robert. Well, we got the full crew tonight. You know it's going to be live tonight. We got Robert. We got Joseph. We got Curtis.
Yay.
And we have Leon.
Yay.
How are
the
brothers?
What's up, Joseph?
Hey, everybody. Going on?
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, Robert Gatewood, Joseph Gatewood, Leon Gatewood. What's going on? A lot of Gatewood going on here.
I was going to say, through all the foolishness going on, man, in the world, I'm excited, you know, about what we can do on the ground level. You know, you got so much foolishness going on up there. And down here on the bottom, ain't nobody bothering us. We just working our butt off.
Well,
so,
breaking news.
It's just amazing.
Top Democrats are demanding IRS release 6 years of Trump's personal and business taxes within 7 days.
Good luck getting it. That's all I can say. If the guy says he's not going to do it, what they going to do then?
It's a good move.
I'm proud of the move. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
it's a good move.
It's a great move.
Say no. Next, Make him say no, I ain't going to do it. Make him say it.
The fool been saying no for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
but you know what, Leon?
Yes.
The Democrats or whomever, you do what you do. Now, you can't control what Trump does or doesn't do. You do
That's
what
right.
you're supposed to do and worry
right.
about that other part later. Don't
right.
let him say what Trump's not going to do. That ain't your problem. Your problem
That's
is
right.
to do what you were put in there to do, period.
That's right.
Exactly. They
and
need
I'm
to
proud
keep
of what they
his feet. He need to keep his feet to the fire. He haven't had any fire. He's been laying back in on Kool-Aid, just drinking Kool-Aid.
That's right.
I wouldn't quite say that, but yeah, he's headed on the easy street.
He ain't had no fire. The Mueller thing. I mean, you know, that was something where it just, you know, stemmed over from the election that, you know. But he hadn't had any accountability, you know, as far as the
That's true, that
the
that
House
part is
and
true.
The Congress and all that, the people were supposed to be holding him accountable. No, that was.
But how do you sleep at night?
How
do you sleep at night though, knowing somebody's up your tail like that? I don't understand it.
Well, somebody like
how somebody just resigned, man.
Somebody like
well,
Trump,
he's such
all his life.
Go ahead, Joe.
No, what I was saying, somebody like Trump, he's been going through that all his life. He's immune to that.
Yeah. When you pass
the
body.
He's always had somebody to block it or pay it a little attention because, you know, he's still under the guidelines of white privilege. So, you know, he doesn't worry about it.
That's right. Because what I'm saying is you had white privilege for 70-something years. You know, then all of a sudden somebody telling you to do something. I mean, he couldn't even do it if he wanted to.
Right.
You know.
But you know what, it's like when you're pathological, you actually start to believe your own madness. And so he's probably sleeping like a baby because in his warped mind, he really think he's doing the right thing. You know what it reminds me of? Kind of slightly changing the subject. The governor of Virginia. And the trouble these have, I mean, the Lieutenant Governor, Justin Fairfax, he took 2 lie detector tests, and he passed them both with flying colors. Now, to some, they would say that would be total exoneration. But if he in his mind really believed that he did not do anything wrong, then he could be right and the accusers could be right. It could be a total misunderstanding. So sometimes you can actually, in your own world, believe that there is nothing wrong with your actions. And while we're on Justice Fairfax, they had Meredith Watson and the other lady. I've got another name. But anyway, they had them both on Gayle King's show recently. And that is, I've been following these cases. Now we got Joe Biden out there apologizing and it's just gone crazy.
Did he apologize yet? Did Joe finally apologize?
Well, he gave a lukewarm.
He
gave a political apology. He gave a political apology. You know, if I heard some feelings, I'm listening now. If I did something wrong, I didn't mean to. But I think that pendulum has swung back the other way now. People are starting to really say, look, wait a minute. You just can't believe everything somebody say. Even though most people are. Just like Kamala Harris came out today and she said, I believe the women that have accused Joe Biden. I'm like, you didn't have to say that, Kamala. You could have just said, I'm going to wait till I get more information.
Yeah,
I saw that.
That's where the problem is. You can't go from one extreme to the other. You got to say, okay, women should not be mistreated. Women should not be abused. If they have a complaint, it should be heard. It should be given fair and due process. And the same should be on the men's side. If a man is saying, I didn't do it, then the same fair due process. Take it through, find a way to have it through fair process. If you don't have a fair process within your organization or within your workplace, then it may need to go to court. But there has to be some, we have to require some due process because it's not justice to say
I believe one gender over the other. What you want is justice. You want facts. You want truth.
Yeah.
And once we if we get beyond that, then we're opening ourselves up for some problems. Some terrible things gonna happen.
And you know what, Curtis?
I have not seen a gender yet where there's somebody in that gender didn't lie. I don't care if it's LGBTQ. I don't care if it's men. I don't care if it's women. Somebody in that gender can lie. So, with that being the case, there is no way around due process. I mean, we're going to go through this period where, you know, you're in a period now where you're in this extreme. It's on the other side. People can't say much. People scared to say it. But it's going to boil back down to fact-finding, truth-finding, regardless of who made the allegation and regardless of who's been accused. And if you don't get back to that, I mean, you're just opening the door up for all kinds of bad things happening. Nobody's going to be able to run for office, one thing. I mean, because all Trump has to do is get somebody to say he did it. You know, that's all they got
to
do.
Yeah, it's out of hand. It's out of hand. It has to be now. I'm with you, Curtis. No, it's at a point now when somebody, when they comes up with some stuff like that, you need, okay, I need some pictures, some videos, some audio tapes or something. I mean, other than just keep moving. There's too much of this going on.
You know, I'll go back to what I said, you know, put a statute of limitation on it.
Yeah, at least that. I mean,
put a statute of limitation on it. So, look, you ain't come forward after all these years. This man been up there in the Senate how many years? Ever since.
You talking about Biden? He been the president.
Yeah,
he's about
80 years old.
He was vice president for 8 years.
Vice president, been in the Senate. Then all of a sudden, where did this mess come from all of a sudden? That's the part that I don't get.
You know, I heard somebody say the other day, I think it's a good test. And like I said, I've probably been more believing of the women than most men. So I think I got a little more cred to say this, but they said, I kind of said this is like where my position is starting to fall. It's like, did you report it when it happened? And if the answer is no, the answer is why didn't you? And then if you didn't report it, then why are you reporting it now?
Those are legitimate questions to ask.
That doesn't mean you're victim blaming. You know, you're not victim blaming. Because people need to be heard. But I do want to know, if you have a legitimate reason as to why you didn't report it then, I want to hear it, and I'm probably going to jump on the bandwagon with you. But if you can't answer those questions, why didn't you? Why did you report it now? And why didn't you report it then? If not, why are you reporting it now?
Right.
And that was the test that the Justin Fairfax, the latest, they couldn't answer for me satisfactorily, because one of the ladies, Watson, actually said, she actually made a public announcement that I'm going to take you down. She actually said that. So that right there almost disqualified her. Not doesn't mean she didn't do it, but it makes her claim very suspicious.
Right.
And so I want to hear.
Look, yeah.
I want to listen. I want to hear your story. I want to believe you. But like Curtis said, there must be due process. There really has to be. That's the only way we can actually sort this out, because you just can't say because I'm a man or woman, I should be believed and the other person shouldn't be. That just doesn't hold water to me.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. It has actually gotten out of hand, guys. We're going to move on, talk about something else after we take a quick break. Robert, we're going to take a quick break and come back. Reboot and get started on something else. Why in the world did they have to kill Nipsey Russell, man?
Oh, man.
That's evil.
That's why they killed him. It's like he just evil.
Is Nipsey Russell his dad?
The one that we know?
They're not related. No, that's not even his real name.
It's Nipsey Hussle.
He's just playing off his name, man. Nipsey Hussle.
Nipsey Hussle.
But When I first heard it was dead, I thought it was Nipsey Russell. I said, man.
I thought it was Nipsey Russell.
The Tin Man is dead.
Man, I
Tin Man, no.
Ain't nobody shot that
Tin Man.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Call and talk to us. Friend, you need that, bro.
Man, you were talking about you were talking about Nipsey Hussle.
Yeah, Nipsey
Hussle.
And
that's really one of the saddest stories I've heard lately. It really almost breaks your will, and I'm glad we as a people have been resilient over the years. That you have somebody who has turned himself around. And not just turn himself around for his own aggrandizement or enrichment, but went back to the neighborhood where he got his stripes and was determined to bring as many people up as he could to bring them out. He was down there doing the work. That's
yep.
why so many
oh, yeah.
people are affected by this. He was in the trenches doing the work, doing the hard work.
Listen to this, man. I just read this. I just read this cut from the Daily Beast, right? Here's how it starts out. Eric Shitty Cuz Holder has everything Nipsey Russell had except for talent, brains, imaginations, wit, charm, ingenuity, generosity, perseverance, purpose, grace, heart, stature, and social subconscious. But he did have a gun. That's all he had.
Hmm. Yeah, that's something.
Sound like Mom made that joke.
That is. Yeah. Man, this, I'm telling you, man, this one really bothered me because it really kind of reminded him of us. Because this is kind of what we're trying to do. We're down
yeah.
in the trenches. We're trying to actually make a difference. We didn't take our money and our fame and go out here and try to get as rich as we can. We have turned back to the community that birthed us and trying to bring as many other people along as we can. And
mm-hmm.
then you have some knucklehead comes out and snuffs out a light that this guy wasn't really making a difference. That's what really ticks me off. I mean, you know, you got rappers and people out here making money, spending money on bling and cars. This guy went back to the neighborhood and was trying to build a community with people from the hood.
He was doing exactly what you know, we want people to do, especially
yeah.
in entertainment.
Yeah.
Because, you know, entertainment usually and as a former gang member and all that stuff, because, you know, we've always said if those guys can sell drugs or run gangs, they can run a business. We've always said that.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
Said, okay, I'm gonna do it. And he did. Yep. And he started doing it, man. Very innovative businessman. You know, he was showing you how you do what everybody been saying you ought to do.
Yeah.
And I'll be done. And that reminds me, too, of what, you know, we're going to get into this, some of this history, you know, years back. I mean, one of our shows, I want to kind of like talk about lynchings, because I can show y'all how the lynching period was worse than slavery. You know, we always think about slavery being the worst part, which it was bad enough. Don't get me wrong. That was a bad thing that we must fight and make sure that we stand and fight about when we talk about reparations. But the period after slavery, where people actually start pulling themselves up from their bootstraps and was murdered for being successful and had their businesses taken, had their homes taken, wiped out of communities like Rosewood and Tulsa and all these places where black folk had actually started becoming successful. That's what made me think about when I thought about him. He was like one of those people who had not only pulled himself up from his own bootstraps, he pulled himself up with boots that didn't have the straps. And he was killed, you know, by somebody in the community. So that's one of the things that we do is Stop Killing Us. We're not just talking about police accountability. We're talking about police accountability and any other hand that's used to kill our people. We're saying, stop killing us. Enough is enough. It does not matter if black folk are being used to kill us. We're saying you stop it. You know, we're not going to say, well, you know, we're just going to keep looking the other way until it's a white man or until it's a police officer. We're saying do not kill us. We do not want anybody in our community killing us or robbing us of our peace. And so this was another example as to why we've taken that position. The Nipsey Hussle death is just put an exclamation point on. We can't any longer just wait to say, you know, when a white police officer or somebody else do it. We got to deal with that, too, don't get me wrong. But we cannot let black folk be used through self-hatred, ignorance, or whether they've been infiltrated by the oppressor or whatever is driving this. But we have to stop all the guns that are aimed in our direction.
Yeah, well, amen. You know, like I know, they're being trained for that stuff. It's a training camp with the music they listen to. You know, like I know that training camp, that the videos, the music, it's just a whole world out there trying to radicalize these kids into becoming killers of themselves. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad. And people, we're allowing it to happen right before our very eyes. When I say we, I'm talking about we as parents, we as uncles, we as cousins, and
exactly.
All that. We're allowing all this to happen right before our very eyes. We sit there and watch our kids listen to it. We sit there and let our kids go to school with headphones in their ear. We let them sit around the table with us while we're eating dinner with headphones in their ear, being trained right before our very eyes, and there's nothing we're doing about it. And now the chickens are coming home. Well, the chickens are roosting. They have come home and sitting around the chair watching TV roosting. And
we're allowing people to get rich off of it. We're allowing the entertainment industry to do this as well. We have two issues to deal with, just like with the killing. You got a systemic side of it, and you got a responsibility side internal side in our communities. We had to address that too, like you're saying. We have to turn it off. We had to make sure we're not doing it. But then at the same time, the strong media, the strong entertainment centers side of it, it has to be addressed as well.
Well, I think that's why I like and really appreciate the brothers and why I'm happy to contribute this platform is that we have to, this problem has many fathers, this problem in our community of shooting and killing, and it's not just the thug that took the guy's life. It's not just it's the system. And until you address the system, just taking out the guy, Eric Holder, and locking him up, I mean, it's not like he's very, that's what he deserves or some type of punishment. But that still doesn't stop the system from doing what it does. We have to tackle the system. That's why we have to get people voting. That's why we have to get people to be employed. We have to take out some of these this economic disparity. We got to break.
Yeah.
We got to get our children right. We got to keep the families together. There's so many things that are attacking our community, but it's part of the system, and we have to become our own system to fight back that system. Our system just has to be stronger. Right now, our system is fractured. It's under influence. It's constantly under attack, and it's a lot of work. But when we get people that are doing the work, we have to realize he's just one person in the race. So somebody else has to pick up that baton. We can't spend all the next 20 years mourning like we did with Dr. King. Somebody's got to pick up that baton, and we got to have several people running this race at the same time. So when one person falls, we don't go back. We don't go set back 10 years and have to keep starting over.
Right.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, brother. Do any of you all know why this guy killed Nipsey Hussle?
They said
you don't know why
he
did
it.
That?
Was a beef. They had a beef. Now, one of the, this is what I've heard from, I've listened to some other talk shows, and I've been following this very closely, and I've listened to, matter of fact, I was listening to Joe Madison's show the other day, and a guy called in who was a, he was a former gangbanger. He said that the problem that Nipsey had is that he was very idealistic. He actually felt that he could break away from his former life. I mean, he was a, I understand he was a member of the Crips, and so he was a gang, he was informally from the gangs. And this guy said, and what he said, it stuck with me. He said, once you're in a gang, you got to leave that community. You can't, because that gang is all, those gang people that you may have wronged or may have wronged you, they're still there. And either you got to get out of there or you got to get you some security to walk around with you, because those beefs don't go away just because you made some money. And,
yeah,
that, and it was a beef.
Yeah, I was also called in this argument and say this guy, that the older guy who did the shooting was a member of the same gang, and it was a terrible, brutal killing. And it's just senseless, man. I don't get it.
Let me tell you, did y'all hear about the situation up here in Charlotte?
Which one? A lot going on in Charlotte, bro.
Well, It was on the news, but anyway, they were talking about these three black guys involved in a shootout down there on the at the corner of 28th Street and Tryon. 28th Street and Tryon. They were down there shooting 17-year-old, 22-year-old, and 24-year-old. And this young black woman on the way to a nursing school just happened to be driving by at the time doing the shooting. They killed her. And she got killed.
Hmm.
Just driving down a main street in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And three young black
men. That's
men.
The kind of foolishness they talk about in that music all the time, man. It's all they talk about, shooting, riding by, shooting, killing. That's all they talk about. Anyway, man, we're gonna take another break. We're trying to get somebody on the line quick. We're gonna try to talk from Africa. We're trying to understand they're having some technical difficulties calling in.
Hey, man, cause I want to bring that thing closer to home too. Cause I don't know if y'all know how Ronnie Sterling got killed, but you know this was another successful guy. It basically just got killed by some stupid person with a gun. But we'll talk.
Yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about. A lot going on in this world, man. Like I said, it's too much good to be doing. Keep going through this. It's crazy, man. All right. We'll be back, ladies and gentlemen, the Brother For Real Radio Show. 215-383-3872 is the number to call in. Please call in. We're going to try to hear from Africa in a minute. All right.
Hey, Leon, you
Hello?
There? Hey, like we lost Leon for a second. Hey, Kim, how you doing?
Hey, yeah, I think Leon got disconnected. He was going to try to reconnect.
Okay, cool, cool. Hold on there. Anyway, when Leon come back on, hold on there. I got too many phones going at once. Yeah, when Leon calls back in, we'll reconnect him. Yeah, Kim going to be joining us from the motherland. Am I correct, Kim?
Yes, I'm calling from Monrovia, Liberia.
Oh,
calling from where?
My goodness gracious.
Are you calling from where?
I think you said Monrovia. Monrovia,
okay.
Liberia, in the continent of Africa.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
you mean like Monrovia down the street?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
You don't mean like Monroe down in North Carolina, down the street from Waysboro?
No, I mean like about 5,000 miles away from the coast of the United States.
Oh, that mess.
Long way, Kimberly.
That's a long way from home.
There are so many untapped.
A long way to go to get a fish dinner.
There's so many opportunities here. I can't wait to come back and just talk about what I've seen and the opportunities that are here and how the people here feel and how they mimic America. I've learned so much. It's been an eye-opening and enlightening experience. I'm here,
hey,
by
Kim,
the way.
I have a question.
Yes.
I have a question. Do the people in Liberia have a regular name like we have here?
Yeah.
Yeah, some of them have regular names. Miss Cecilia Kate is here beside me. She's from Liberia. She's one of my dear friends. I'm here for her wedding, actually. Cecilia, do people here have regular names like in America?
Yeah, they got what's the name?
Well, you know how Liberia came in, right?
They also have traditional names too.
They have what's the name?
And pardon me for saying regular, because I know that's not really the right way to phrase it. When I say Americanized name versus names from the continent, so
English
name. Let me
rephrase
that. Right, English name versus African name.
Well, I'm wondering what is.
Well, you know Charles
Taylor.
You know, all of us know Charles Taylor. He used to be the leader of the country during the revolution.
That's right, Taylor.
Charles Taylor.
That's right.
And of course, you know,
and they were
Monrovia,
actually,
named after James Monroe, President of the United States, that started that settlement.
Yeah, there are a lot of similarities between America and Liberia, of course, because these were freed slaves who came over here from America, so they mimicked what they saw.
Right.
They have
here.
Their currency is the Liberian dollar. Their flag looks like ours, except it has one star instead of 50.
Why they only have one?
What about? I got one state.
You know. Hey, Kim, how you doing? This is Leon Gatewood. How you doing? Welcome to
Hi,
the Brothers for Real Radio Show. Happy birthday. Y'all know today is Kim's birthday, right?
Thank
no,
you
I didn't know that.
What?
Yeah, today is her birthday. That's why she's on here, man. That's why she's in there. Why is she in Africa?
Happy
yeah, she was in Africa to help Cecilia get married. You know, her traditional wedding.
Y'all sing happy birthday to Kimberly.
Y'all want to sing happy birthday?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, we're going to tune it up, man. Okay,
and
let's start. Happy birthday to
you.
Happy birthday
to you.
Birthday, Kimberly.
Happy
birthday. See, we got
a delay.
Y'all must be over there in Africa with Kim because she's behind.
Y'all could
well,
say you got that Africa. Y'all gonna blame it on the time.
This
has
been
a
most memorable
person.
I've ever heard you
all sing. Kim, I got one thing to say right quick. I saw a pizza on the Facebook.
Yeah, that's
was
what
that,
I think that's what the pizza was.
What kind of pizza was that? I mean, it was big.
A regular American
it was huge.
Pizza. Actually, the resort where we're staying is owned by a man who's from Lebanon, so they have American food on the menu. They have a few Lebanese dishes and, of course, some traditional Liberian dishes. And we've sampled all three. And
wow.
Then
I know you had any fun doing
I have
that.
I have a lot to share when I come back. And I'll talk more about it maybe on another radio show. But there are people here who are working the bridge gap between Liberia and America. And I am now on board. I'm one of those champions.
Kimberly,
yes.
This tells it. Did you see that movie? I can't
okay.
think. I can never think of the name of this movie. It was off Broadway play. It was the setting was in Liberia during the Civil War in Liberia. You know the name of that movie. It was a very dramatic performance. But it's
coming to
was
America.
No. Off Broadway play. It was a play. We saw it in New York when we were up there. It was an off Broadway play.
Hmm.
The setting was in Liberia during the Civil War.
What about it?
Wow.
They're
actually still trying to rebuild from the Civil War. You can they're very confident people that they will become the Monrovia they used to be as far as the structure and the progress, but right now they're in the rebuilding stage from the Civil War. Actually, Ophelia, who once again is getting married on Sunday, April 7th, she was a refugee. That's how she came to America. She fled this country during the Civil War.
Man, how cool
wow.
is that? Ophelia, where are you?
Over now.
I'm sorry?
Where's Ophelia?
She's right here, Ophelia.
Tell her to get
Hello.
On the line. Hey, Ophelia.
Hello.
Hey, Ophelia.
Hey.
Hey,
welcome,
everybody.
Welcome to America. I have one question. Maybe two, maybe three. What is the difference between what is a traditional wedding like?
Oh, that's a good question, man.
Traditional African wedding.
A traditional wedding here is the men's family going over to the woman's family and paying the woman proud to them. So in the process of doing that, you have to pay the dowry. There's a certain amount, like $140. That's $140 you use to pay the woman dowry. And after you pay that $140, United States data, you're going to have to put clothes, like expensive clothes, country clothes, made out of country clothes, out of cotton. So you're going to have to buy that and
put that clothes on the girl's father, mother, and her family, her siblings. And then you will have to kill cows. And have a big celebration. Mm-hmm. Have a big celebration before you get married a daughter. So that's the traditional part. After that, they can go to the church. They can go to the church and do the church part. But you have to do that first.
Wow. So kill a cow. Got to kill a cow and give $140. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. And buy expensive clothes. So the dowry payment would be on Saturday. And then the actual ceremony would be on Sunday.
Wow.
You're killing
it
a cow, you
see?
Cow.
I have a question.
Huh?
One question. This is a serious question.
Single.
The cow. Like, is it like a cow you've been growing or something, or a special cow, or like you can buy?
I would say single because I'm not killing a cow.
It's a regular big cow. Everybody can have enough meat. There has enough meat for everybody to feed everybody.
Oh, you're gonna eat it?
All right.
While I'm on the phone, I just want to give a shout out, as they say. Mr. James Hunter, who is the Liberian, he's chairman of the Liberian Organization of the Peace. He has been a tremendous help in connecting me to people here in Liberia. On tomorrow, I'll meet with the president of AME Zion University on behalf of Livingstone College. And then I'm also arranging a visit to meet with Mayor Haynes. He is the mayor of the port city of, what is the city?
Buchanan.
Yeah, Buchanan. So I'm arranging that visit before I leave as well. So I'm making some very good connections over here. Praise be to God.
Hallelujah.
Of course, myself and Patricia, we are joining forces to help these bridge gappers and uniting America with Liberia. And Patricia's church, Greater Mount Sinai, also lent us a very big shout-out to your brothers who go there. Their pastor connected us with Laura Pritchard, who has been very hospitable. She met us at the airport. She had dinner with us today. We'll see her tomorrow. And their church, Greater Mount Sinai, Greater Mount Sinai of Charlotte, is also sending a missionary team over here next year. So that church has been instrumental. Mr. Honduras has been instrumental. So we'd like to thank God for them and the connections we're making.
Amen. Sounds great.
Amen.
That's beautiful.
Hey, y'all got any cow meat?
They didn't kill the cow yet.
Hey, Robert, we call that steak over here.
Oh, we call that steak. Oh, okay. It sounded so different when you call it a cow.
Huh?
Right, Joseph said that's steak. Leon. We call it steak. Robert said it sounds a little different when you call it just a cow.
Yeah, no, we call it hamburger over here in steak.
Sounds all of this part.
Y'all be eating the horn, the hoof, and everything?
For the first time.
Wow, this is really cool, though.
And also,
cool.
Something that's very important, too, that she did not mention is on Monday. I'm sorry, on tomorrow, she and it's traditional that her family meets his family. And so they haven't done that yet. So today they've set aside time to meet each other so they can get to know each other before the actual dowry take ceremony.
They have never met before.
Interesting.
$140.
That's cool. So $140 in American money is...
Yeah, okay. Both clothes. Don't forget that.
$140.
Okay. And a cow.
Huh?
Gotta get a cow.
How much is $140 in American money over there? I'm just being nosy right now. I'm getting up in the
I'm
business.
I'm not sure. They're paying U.S. dollars. They're paying U.S. dollars is what they pay.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to convert it.
They accept U.S. dollars.
Well, a cow's probably over $1 million over there, though. Big old cow. That's a lot of meat.
I'm not sure, but I'll say, you know, it has been very interesting. I appreciate
the little things back home that we tend to take for granted, like clean water, like a garbage system, because here, like on yesterday, we've seen some things, and small things to us that we take for granted, but when you don't have them, you miss them.
Yeah. So what y'all doing with the trash?
No, we have to. We drink bottled water.
Where does it come from?
No, we can't have ice, so we drink things when we go out. We have to drink things without ice.
No ice.
Where's the bottled water come from?
Yeah, they have an issue with
hey.
Clean water here.
No ice machines.
And Miss Laura, who's I just mentioned, Laura Pritchett, her stepdaughter who lives here, she's being treated right now for typhoid fever, and that's one of the things that we had to get vaccinated for before we came over.
What?
Are y'all getting the impression Kim can't hear us?
Yeah. I'm starting to believe that.
Kim, can you hear us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
we're just ignoring our question.
What was the question?
I'm just picking. I just asked, where does the bottled water come from?
I'm not sure. Where does it come from?
Right.
I'm looking now. It's a product. Some of the water we get is a product of the Coca-Cola company.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's down home. Okay.
I'm not sure where it comes from, but we were advised to only drink bottled water.
I understand that. Okay. Well, we're really proud of you for being over there. I know it looks like you're having a great time and the beautiful pictures you sent back.
The best
time.
But I have a question, Kimberly. I have a question.
Okay.
Do you feel a kinship? Do you feel, I've always felt that if I went back to Africa, I would feel this pride and I feel to reach down and kiss the ground and feel this reconnection with the motherland. Do you feel any of those emotions when you got into the... you've been to Africa before, I assume.
Right. I went in 2011 to South Africa, and that's when I wanted to, like, go and kiss the ground and, you know, bring home dirt from the motherland and all of that.
Right.
But to be honest with you, that was great. But I felt... That trip, I felt more like a tourist. And even though I felt at home... Because whenever you go to any African country, they always greet you with welcome home. And so I did feel at home there. But here, it seems like it's more authentic. It's like the connection is more sincere and real for some reason. Mm. And it might be because I know people here personally. I know people that I've spoken with via Facebook. That might be it, but there's a deeper connection here. There is.
Well, I think part of it is because there is a connection that these are people who were actually in America, their roots. They were in that. Of course, they were in Africa first. They came here. They were Americanized, and they came back to Africa. So there is a closer connection, I think, than when you went to South Africa.
And let me tell you this. They feel like they are America's stepchild, and that's what people are here to help. Change the perspective of Liberia to America.
Well, that's cool stuff.
They came here, but America paid for them to come back here. They provided the transportation. They set everything up. The first president was, like Joseph said earlier, was named after James Monroe. So, they feel like they've been forgotten.
Yeah.
Is the primary language English?
Yes, I think it is. Yes, English. It's English, and then they speak their native dialects. Like, Australia speaks English, plus you speak Mono.
Do they have an official language?
English.
Is English the official language of Australia? Yes.
Yes, English is the official language. That's the understanding. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay. Cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So when you coming home?
Y'all home next Wednesday, a week from today.
Next Wednesday, okay. Cool. We have a couple of callers on the line. I just want to know, I wonder if they want to say anything. We have a couple of callers on the line. Anybody want to speak? Ms. Kimberly Harrington over in Africa.
Yeah,
well, I was going to say, when I married my wife there in Ghana, I couldn't approach her. I had to approach her brothers. Of course, I had to pay the family, because the father figured if they put enough time and effort in to that daughter where it caught your eye, you should be willing to compensate them for it.
Hey, was it $140 back then?
No, it was more than that. It was 2012.
Good, great of the night.
Oh, he said it was the year 2012.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, you're talking about Liberia. You know, in Liberia's constitution, that the only person that can become a citizen, other than, you know, the indigenous people there, is the Negro. The way that was written.
Wow. That's pretty deep.
And I just learned that today, too. I'm not sure if it still applies, but I just heard today, I haven't verified that. Only people of African descent can own land here.
Yeah.
Wow.
It says in the Constitution only a Negro can. That's where that's where it's worded. And I think that the stipulation would require for you to stay there for 9 months, and then you go ahead and apply.
Like the place where I am staying is owned by a man from Lebanon. We met him on last night. So a lot of Lebanese people intermarry. They marry Africans, and that's how they're able to acquire land here.
But there's a lot of Lebanese do that. As a matter of fact, they was complaining about the fact that they couldn't become citizens any other way, and that the Constitution forbid them. But the thing is,
when you intermarry. Can you intermarry and become a citizen, or you have to be native-born or have a Negro lineage?
Well, here's the thing. If you're talking about becoming a citizen, you're going to have to give your citizens up in the United States unless it's bestowed upon you. You have to look at that very close, because U.S. Now, I don't know about Liberia per se, but the U.S. does not recognize dual citizenship unless in certain instances. And for quite obvious, they went to war against a country where they would do you like they'd done the Japanese back during World War II, maybe. So you have to look at that. And the only reason you'd be dual citizen, if you had a Liberian passport, you would use that to go through the airport there, use a U.S. passport to go through the airport here in this country. And you wouldn't have to pay for a visa. Liberia is a member of what's called the ECOWAS. So if you're a citizen there, you don't need a passport or a visa to get into any other ECOWAS countries, which, you know, include majority of those that's in the West Coast, Ghana, Nigeria, Cameroon, and so on and so on. But what I wanted to say is that the business opportunity that exists there in those countries is tremendous. And you have a few. You have a few, but not many, Black Americans that's taken advantage of it. And I wonder if the lady, did you recognize it? You know, I have a friend that has business opportunities there in Liberia around what's called the River G area, which is up the river into the interior of the land. Have you recognized any business activities, I mean opportunities while you're there?
I've been exposed to some. Hopefully I'll learn more about that tomorrow during my visit with some of the local dignitaries over the next few days. But I do understand that there are some here. I've been ascertaining on those opportunities by Ms. Laura Pritchard, who is here serving in that capacity to try to introduce African-Americans to the business opportunities that are here. I know that we try to patronize businesses that are owned by Liberian here. The reason I'm staying at this hotel is because it came as a package deal through my my airline ticket.
Yeah.
I didn't realize last night that it was owned by a Lebanese.
Well, you know, Dennis Rochelle, the founder of Shea Beauty Products, he originally is from Liberia and then by way of Sierra Leone. And he used some of his grandmother's recipes for black hair, well, for black beauty products. And he's one of the largest beauty product manufacturers in the world at this point. So,
actually, right on the street from us, which I hope to visit, Bob Johnson owned a property here. It was called Heights Khadij. But it's right up the street from where I'm staying. And they said it's very nice, but they said that he recently sold it. I'm not sure how recent it was, but he sold it. There was an accident that happened there, and he didn't want his name attached to it anymore, so he sold it. But I'm still interested in seeing that property and what it looks like.
Yeah. But anyway, when it comes down to marrying them daughters, I heard of a case where a man, he was from Guinea, he came and married a lady. She might have been from Sierra Leone, may have been from Liberia. And when he got ready to go back home to take his wife, the grandmother went with him to make sure that she was being treated as expected. And if she hadn't been, she was going to bring her back. But anyway, I just wanted to add that.
Well, hey, Tim, I have a question for you, for your friend who's getting married. Now, you have the Ivory Coast on one side of Liberia, and you have Sierra Leone on the other. Are they influenced by Liberian culture? Let's say the people that came from the U.S. and came back to Liberia. Or are they strictly embedded into the African culture as their neighbors, such as Ghana and the other places? Because I'm just wondering how far does the influence extend outside of Liberia? Does it go into the neighboring countries?
Well, here, you know, Ghana is another African country. Sierra Leone, Guinea, Ivory Coast. Those are all neighboring African countries, you know, bordering, having common borders. Those countries got their own tradition, their own culture, their own beliefs and stuff. So it's very different from Liberia.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they are all neighbors and, yeah. So they got different cultures.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just wondering if it extended outside of the borders. Yeah, that's exactly. I was wondering if it was just isolated to Liberia. Because it seems like Liberia, because of its historical context, that it would be like almost in an island by itself. And if the other countries have influenced Liberia and Liberia has influenced the other countries, though it's pretty much still kind of isolated as far as their culture being, you know, having come from the United States. That's just something I've always wondered.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, because like I said, they are neighboring countries. And here, the people are very adaptable. So they got a lot of people here from Ghana, Ivory Coast, that have been living in Liberia for a long time, and they adapted the culture. So they act like Liberians. Notwithstanding, they know where they're from, and they also got their culture in them. But there are certain things that they just cannot do here in Liberia that they would do in their country. That's because of the cultural differences. But Liberia was strictly imitated Americans because Liberia was colonized by the American Colonization Society. So all the other neighboring countries, some of them were colonized by the British people. So
that's a good point. Everybody's colonized by somebody.
Right.
Okay.
So if you see a typical Liberian, you will know they're African, but if they've been like in the United States for a few years, you will not even think they're Liberian. You will just think they're Americans because that's what they want to be.
That's very interesting. I mean, that dynamic is really interesting dynamic.
Yes,
check this out, ladies and gentlemen. Our time is up. We'd like to thank Ophelia. We'd like to thank Kimberly. We'd like to thank all of our callers who joined us tonight. Thank you for joining the Brothers for Real Radio Show as we spoke to directly to Africa. How cool is that? We're very excited about that. Hakuna Matata. I'd like to thank the brothers, Robert, Joseph, and Curtis for joining us tonight. Thank you, guys. And thank you, guys, for listening. I understand there are plenty of people listening tonight as well. Thank you tonight. Thank you. We're going to tune out now. Happy birthday again, Kimberly. Hope you enjoy yourself. Come on back to America when you
thank
get the
you.
Chance. We'll be happy to have you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Bye.
We're out.
I can't.
Hi, Kim, and your friend. Happy happy wedding.
Signing off.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ophelia. Best wishes. And what do you say when somebody's getting ready to marry, get married over there? How you say it? Break a leg or what? I don't know.
Jump the broom.
Run. Lay that concipia.
Oh. What did you
okay,
say?
Yeah, that.
What did you say?
What you call me?
Leba le concipia.
What
else? Leba concipia. All right. Yeah, that.
Okay, leba le maric epic.
Whatever. Have fun.
All right, bye-bye.
Break a leg. Hakuna Matata. Bring me some water.
Hey, Leon, I want to dedicate this to Mipsy Hustle.
Yeah, man. That's cool right there. Nipsy and all the other people that's going down over this foolish.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I want to give another shout-out, birthday shout-out. You know our cousin Judy, Aunt Edge's daughter Judy, her birthday is today.
Hey, happy birthday, Judy.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. You know, we went to the Waysboro Elementary School today. I'd like to thank Ms. Natasha DeBerry for inviting us out to speak to the students there.
I saw Brenda put a picture on Instagram of you and Sabrina.
Yes.
Y'all guys doing great things down there, man. Really, it's very touching to see what you guys are doing.
We're the village, and it's gonna take the village to do it, brother. The whole village.
Amen.
Because
amen, brother.
So much, so very much foolishness going on. We try to get kids to focus while they're young, you know, get them to thinking. About 9 out of 10 of the kids we talked to today, if you say, what do you want to be? It was interesting. They said veterinarian, want to be a doctor. It was interesting that the narrative has changed. Where everybody wants to be a basketball player. I have no idea where it's coming from, but I'm excited about it.
So we got hope. There's hope in the future, huh?
There's hope in the future.
There's hope.
I told them I want to be a doctor too, but I didn't want to be a doctor until I was in the 12th grade. But unfortunately, I didn't really want to be a doctor. Daddy wanted me to be a doctor, though. You know, and I was very happy about that. But it was the 12th grade before we decided he wanted me to be one. So I told the kids today, you're on the right track because you need to start preparing very early for that profession.
Amen, bro.
Yeah.
That's what they need to hear, man. They need to hear that more often, loud and often.
But every day is exciting, man. I'm getting excited. I wake up excited every day. It's full of opportunity. And my sister Lee would say, there's plenty of opportunity for stewardship.
Wait, yeah. Something is labor, harvest is plentiful and the laborers are people.
Absolutely. But yeah, man, that Africa trip though is starting to look promising. I mean, you know, like what you want to do, you know, invest in Africa. I'm in Morven tonight. We got a big day in Allison. We had about 20 kids in the back playing tennis earlier. We had about 10 young ladies on the bottom floor playing, doing steps and routines and stuff like that. There's somebody in the music studio back here doing some recording today. It's just been a beautiful day, man. So we are out. God bless you. You brothers be good. Robert, hey, Joseph, you still on the line?
Yeah, man.
We got to pick a day to go see Robert, man. We need to go up there and hang out with him. Do his show live one Friday, man. I know you just got back.
I'm game whenever you're ready.
All right, you heard me, Robert.
I heard to put you guys on the Radio 1 and Facebook Live. Man, it's going to be a riot. Be a riot.
Got to be a riot right there, though. Got to be a riot. All right, we out, folks. God bless you. Power to the people.
All right, bro. Later.
Keep your hands together. All right. Peace out.
Peace.
Wow.